Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Brother Moy, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, doing okay. I hope everything is well that side.
Lovely. No, everything is okay this side. Thank you so much for asking. Now, in our previous lesson, we saw Daniel painted a vivid picture of King Nebuchadnezzar's troubling dream. Now, in today's lesson, we're going to ask for a breakdown further and learn about the meaning behind the dream. Prophecy is not for entertainment. It is God's special message to his people. I think that this is what we've got to get into this discussion. If you're listening to us out there, that's how we should approach as we listen to our brother. Now, Brother Moyo, please tell us about Daniel's interpretation of the dream that God had given the king.
Yes. So remember that yesterday we were going through this, and I love the way that you've actually said that this is prophecy is not given for entertainment. Neither is it just about the idea of, you know, a person with a crystal ball or something like that. But the idea of being, why is it important? Prophecy is important because it helps to strengthen our faith, because God, when he says it, it comes to pass. So yesterday we talked about how the interpretation of the dream. Now, we had said that the head of gold, or rather the Bible says the head of gold, is the kingdom of Babylon. Mm-hmm. And after the kingdom of Babylon would come a second kingdom represented by silver. And when you, and I think we did talk about yesterday how we should actually go and read and try to check on it, and as an assignment, basically the idea of when through kingdoms in history, who conquered the Babylonians was the Medes and the Persians, or the kingdom of the Persians. And after them, so that would be in 539. But then when you look at, that's 539 BC. Because remember, when we're looking at BC, we count upwards. We go from 539 to 538 to 537. Mm-hmm. We count down. Is that down or up? Which way am I saying?
We count down, yeah.
Yes, thank you. So, yes, 539. And then when we look at so the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians came about in 539, which was then destroyed by the kingdom of Bronze, which was actually, when you look in Daniel chapter 7 as well, we find a picture of the same. But the idea is that who came next was the kingdom of the Greeks, who was headed up by the Alexander the Great. We find this in 331 BC, from 331 BC to 168 BC. Mm. But in 168 came the Iron Empire. And there was actually someone who, and this wasn't even someone who was necessarily writing in the Bible. This is not a Bible verse, but John D. Morris, who talked about the fall of the Roman Empire, actually said something very interesting when he said the arms of the Roman Republic vanquished in battle, always victorious, sometimes vanquished in battle, but always victorious in war, advanced with rapid steps to the Euphrates and the Danube, and actually destroyed the Greek kingdom. And says that all the kingdoms, this would be the gold, the silver, or the brass that might serve to represent the nations and their kings, were successively broken by the iron monarchy of Rome. Mm. So that's the idea, that Rome was the Iron Empire. But we all know that during the time of when Jesus came the first time, during the birth of Jesus Christ, we know that the Roman Empire was the one in charge of the world at the time, even when you look in Luke chapter 2. But what happened to the Roman Empire? We know that the Roman Empire wasn't just destroyed from without, but was destroyed from within, and not necessarily destroyed, but more dismantled and fell apart. And when you look at the way that, and again, I'll say this is an amazing prophecy, because at this point, he could have said that the kingdom, the Iron Kingdom, could have been destroyed, but it wasn't. We still find that the Roman Empire divided, and we still find the kingdoms that divided Rome in divided Europe today. When you look at, and it broke up into about 10, which is interesting because when it says, when you look at your toes, you have 10 feet. I mean, no, when you look at your feet, you have 10 toes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is almost the same way we would look at how 10 kingdoms came out of the Roman Empire. And this, and besides, this still says that it was partly of clay, partly of iron. And even though they would try to mix the two, it would never come to pass. And so when you look at that and you look at the way that world history has played out, remember, this was not written after the fact. This was written way before any of these kingdoms came to pass. But God knows the beginning from the end and spells it out, up to the point where even some skeptics have said that, but it has to have been written afterwards, because if this is true, then the Bible must be true.
Now, what are the chances that Daniel could have predicted the rise and fall of world empires so far in advance simply because he was really a smart guy? Is it possible that he just had a chance, a hunch maybe?
No, I mean, that's a very good question, actually. I laugh because I have known this to be the case with many people who we think are wise people. For example, there's the man who they call Nostradamus. His prophecies and sayings have been put out in books and people have looked through it and all. But even his so-called prophecies have come and failed. A lot of them have actually failed, and a lot of them are just reinterpretations, and they are not very clear. They are just musings of an intelligent man.
Mm.
Intelligent, yes, but then to say that intelligence would say that, then you can tell the future. We should have had another prophecy that is the same as this from some other place, but we only have it in this biblical point of view, but also from Daniel's claim himself. Daniel never claimed to just be wise in himself. He said that, no, this does not come from me. This comes from the God of heaven. Also, look at the enemies of Daniel, who then said, yeah, this is not the knowledge which the king of Babylon was seeking was not from mere mortals or from men, but from God beyond and the one who created everything. So even by Daniel's own admission, by our record today and by Daniel's enemies, we can see that it is not about just being clever or being intelligent, but rather it comes from the source, from God himself.
Now, how does this encounter with prophecy and its interpretation give us hope in God's grand plan?
So here's the thing. When we look at it this way, and I'd like to point this out because of there's usually when we look at this statue, we usually look at, oh, look at the kingdoms, look at all the kingdoms that have come and gone. But remember, there is one kingdom that we have not spoken about. It is the kingdom that there was, as you read in the text, Daniel chapter 2, yesterday so beautifully, when you talked about after the toes, after the feet, what came next?
After the feet, it was the rock that came, uncontrolled, that came and fell into the feet and, disintegrated it altogether.
Mm. And remember, all the others have come and gone. This came and it has gone, came and came to pass. But we are yet to find this kingdom and we are yet to see this kingdom. That is the entire plan of salvation is so that God can come and rule at the end of the day and establish a kingdom forever and ever, not on this earth, but a new heavens and a new earth.
Mm.
And when we see that, and what assurance can we have? Have we not seen just human history shows us that what God has said has come to pass? We only have one kingdom left. We are in the time of the feet,
right,
and we know that we are right at the end.
Hmm.
And we know that if that has it would almost be foolish. I would say almost, just so that it could be nice, but it would almost be foolish to think that oh yeah, all the other ones have come to pass, but this one will not. That would be a rather, foolish conclusion to come to. Rather, the wise decision would be to say that if all these others have come to pass, then indeed, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I'd put my odds on the fact that it has this prophecy has been right all along, and God's grand plan of saving his children and all those who call upon his name in an eternal kingdom, if all that will come to pass, if he has said that it will come to pass, and he's been right all this time, he is right again now. And we have that hope that burns within our hearts and hope in the coming of the Lord.
Oh, yes. Don't remind me of that song. We have this hope. Oh, man. That's a beautiful, beautiful song. As you are saying that, that song just came to my mind, man. It's a beautiful, and we do definitely have this hope. Now, looking at the statue that the king dreamt of and all the kingdoms that have come and gone presented in the prophecy, you saying we are at the time of the end. But I'm looking at the time in between these, from one kingdom to the next. Haven't we waited for rather too much long time now? Until the last one can come to pass?
You know, when you ask that question, it reminds me of a text in the Bible that says that, it reminds me of the time of Noah, where even though Noah had been preaching for how many years, 120 years or so, and he had been preaching and he had been not only preaching, but he had been building the ark. And people came and scoffed and said, but where is this coming? Where is this destruction you're talking about? And even Peter tells us where he says that others pass by and say and scoff and say, but where is this coming that you're speaking about? Where is your Lord? And we are reminded that, but no, God, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as others count blackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Why? Because he wants all to come to repentance, that he's just waiting for that one last soul to get into the ark, to come in and to accept his gift and his gift of eternal life, and to have a better life here and a better life in the world to come. But that causes him to wait, but the fact that there's a delay does not mean that that it will not come to pass. So it's just the way that you've said it. We're getting closer and closer. The fact that we've passed so many years lets us know that the time is coming even closer than it was before. And our salvation is closer now than it was before. And remember, we're looking at the God who cannot lie. We are hearing from the God who cannot lie. So when he says he's coming, the only reason why there's a delay is out of mercy. But even his long suffering has a limit. And I guess maybe the question would be, how long is long suffering? But at the end of the day, those who walk with God step by step, moment by moment, were only getting closer to the kingdom and not further away.
Yeah, and not further away indeed. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for your time and coming through here. Always a pleasure to have you on the AWR. Wishing you a very fantastic afternoon further until we speak again in the future.
Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day. Continue to have a blessed day and continue to hope in the coming of the Lord.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Right, there you have it. That is Brother Dumisani Moyo there joining us and talking to us about the prophecy interpreted. And I truly, truly believe that Christ is coming again. We have indeed this hope. And I mean, if you've not heard the song, I'll probably just look for the song so that we can play it for you here on AWR.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.